The topic of this presentation is CFW Walther and Franz Pieper on the divine institution of the pastoral office. And so it would be good to note at the start that I will not talk about all the different aspects that Walther and Pieper teach about the divine ministry or the pastoral office, but I will focus on the divine institution of the pastoral office, what they teach about that. And also it might be good to mention that most of our time will be spent looking at what Dr. Walther teaches, and we will look at Pieper more briefly. And also I'd like to mention that in preparing this presentation, I've had great help from a paper written by Dr. Gottfried Wachler called Gegensatz zwischen Walther und Welt. But then let us first turn to Walther. In his second thesis in his book Church and Ministry, he writes, "The ministry of the word or the pastoral office is not a human institution, but an office that God himself has established." Now this in itself seems clear enough. Walther writes in effect that the pastoral office is divinely instituted. Now in this thesis, Walther uses two words as synonyms, predigtamt and pharamt. There has been, however, quite a lot of controversy on what Walther means by these two terms. It is therefore in place to delve a little bit deeper into how Walther uses them. The title of the second part of his book, Church and Ministry, is Concerning the Holy Ministry or the Pastoral Office. A holy ministry is used to translate the German word Predigtamt. Pastoral office is used to translate Pfarramt. In English, the term holy ministry is quite vague. The word ministry can mean a lot of different things. However, the word that Walther uses in the original German is Predigtamt, which is a lot more specific. Literally, it means preaching office. In other words, the word that Walther uses already tells us something very specific of what he writes about. Already from the title, we can see that Walther equates the terms Predigtamt and Pfarramt. He writes about the Predigtamt oder Pfarramt, that is, about the holy ministry or the pastoral office. Linguistically, it is clear that Walther here uses these two terms as synonyms. Now this continues in theses 1 and 2, which start with the words das heilige Predigtamt oder Pfarramt and das Predigtamt oder Pfarramt. Now after this, Walther starts theses 3 through 8 with only the word Predigtamt. I think this alone shows that Walther uses these two words as essentially synonyms. It would not make much sense if the two words had different meanings. Typically, when you say concerning this or that, the two words are used as synonyms. For example, you could say concerning the fall or autumn. This makes sense. These are two words which both mean the same thing. But if I were to say concerning the seasons or autumn, this would not make sense. Season is a category which includes autumn, but these two words are not interchangeable. Walther, on the other hand, clearly considers these two terms as interchangeable. Let us look at other evidence, a proof that Walther uses the terms Predigtamt and Pfarramt to mean the same thing. For his thesis 2, Walther quotes Article 5 of the Augsburg Confession as proof supporting his thesis. After it, he provides the following explanation. This statement, of course, does not speak of the ministry of the word, predigtamt, in concreto, or of the pastoral office, pharamt, but only of the ministry of the word in abstracto. And then, a little while later, he says, "Nevertheless, the Augsburg Confession in Article 5 no doubt intends to attest also the divine institution of the pastoral office, pharamt, even if only indirectly, as all commentaries of our Orthodox theologians in their comments on this article clearly show." Compare, for example, Milius, Karpsov, Mentzer, Frank, and others. In other words, Walther here says that even though Article 5 does not speak expressly about the Predigtamt in concreto or the Pfarramt, it still indirectly proves the divine institution of the Predigtamt in concreto, or the pastoral office, Pfarramt. So here we see that Walther uses the term Predigtamt in his thesis to describe the concrete pastoral office. And Walther says that Article 5 indirectly proves that the concrete pastoral office is divinely instituted. Let us then look at Thesis 8. It reads, "The pastoral ministry, Predigtamt, is the highest office in the Church, and from it stem all other offices in the Church, Kirchenämter." We can first make the observation. Walther cannot here mean with the word Predigtamt an abstract ministry of the Word, since it is not possible that from an abstract ministry of the Word all other concrete offices of the Church stem. Walther is in effect saying here that the Predigtamt in concreto is the highest office in the Church from which all other offices in the Church stem. Let us then look at his scripture proof for this thesis, and I will quote the entire section. "Since the incumbents of the public ministry, des öffentlichen Predigtamtes, have been entrusted with the keys of the kingdom of heaven, which the Church possesses originally and immediately, Matthew 16:19-18, in order that they may administer them officially in öffentlichen Amte, in the name of the congregation, their office must of necessity be the highest in the Church, and all other offices stem from it. For the keys embrace the whole power of the Church. Therefore, in Scripture, the incumbents of the ministerial office, jenes Amtes, are called elders, bishops, rulers, stewards, and the like. And the incumbents of subordinate offices, Unteramtes, are called deacons, that is, servants not only of God, but also of the congregation and the bishop. Of the ministers in particular, it is said that they should feed the flock of God and watch over souls as those who must give account. 1 Timothy 3:1, 5:17, 1 Corinthians 4:1, Titus 1:7, Hebrews 13:17. Hence at Jerusalem, the holy apostles in the beginning administered not only the pastoral office, Predigtamt, but also that of the deacons until the growth of the congregation made it necessary that this office should be entrusted to others in order to relieve the apostles, Acts 6:1-6. When the Lord instituted the apostolate, he instituted only one office in the Church, which embraces all others and by which the Church of God should be provided for in every respect. Hence the highest office is that of the ministry of the Word, Predigtamt, with which all other offices are also conferred at the same time. Every other public office, öffentliche Amt, in the Church is part of the ministry of the Word. In German it's desselben, but it is referring to the word Predigtamt. Or an auxiliary office, Hilfsamt, that supports the ministry Predigtamt. Whether it be the elders who do not labor in the word and doctrine, 1 Timothy 5:17, or the rulers, Romans 12:8, or the deacons, in brackets, the office of service in a narrow sense, or whatever other offices the Church may entrust to particular persons for special administration. Therefore, the offices of Christian day school teachers, in German, Schullehrer, welche Gottes Wort in ihren Schulen zu lehren haben. Almoners, sextons, presenters at public worship, and others are all to be regarded as ecclesiastical and sacred, for they take over a part of the one ministry of the Word, des einen Kirchenamtes, and support the pastoral office, Predigtamt. First of all, also here, a few times the Predigtamt is contrasted with all other offices, thus implying that Walther uses the term Predigtamt to describe a concrete office. An abstract office cannot be said to be the highest office of all the other concrete offices. Since all the other offices are referring to concrete offices, so also the highest office is here referring to a concrete office. Walther also writes that those who hold the Predigtamt are called in the Bible elders, bishops, rulers, stewards, and the like. This in contrast to those who hold a subordinate office, such as deacons, in brackets, the office of service in the narrow sense, who are not only servants of God, but also of the congregation and the bishop. It is quite clear that here Walther is speaking about a concrete office, not an abstract one. This is also the highest office to which all other offices are subordinate to. It is clear that if there are auxiliary offices that support the Predigtamt, Then these auxiliary offices cannot themselves be the office they support. For example, deacons are here described as not having the Predigtamt, but as having an Unteramt that is subordinate to those who hold the Predigtamt. However, Predigtamt is also described as being the office from which all the other Kirchenämter stem. All other offices are included in the Predigtamt and are conferred with it. The Predigtamt is the highest office, but also all other offices stem from it and are subordinate to it. All other offices have a part of the Predigtamt and are auxiliary offices to the Predigtamt. Now we might be left to wonder, what does Walther mean when he says that these auxiliary offices have a part of the Predigtamt? And we find a clarification in a quote from Walther from Der Lutheraner. And I will quote it, a lengthy quote here. The so-called deacons and lay elders of the apostles' time were, as was already suggested, in no way preachers and overseers of souls. They were rather only their helpers for functions of the preaching office, which do not make up the essence of the office. Indeed, their functions too were commanded by God. But that these should be carried out only by particular people in an office is not based on God's express command. Their office, as a special and separate office from the preaching office, was also not a divine order and institution, but rather an office ordered by the church, kirchliche Ordnung. These helping offices were not established in all congregations, and yet no divine command was being transgressed. Therefore, also the deacons and lay elders are sometimes installed for a certain period of time or for a certain term, or when one does not need them any longer, he releases them from their office. It was an entirely different circumstance, however, when in a congregation more than one were installed who in every way, allerseits, had the office of the word. In this instance, they all had the same divine office established by Christ, the same spiritual and ecclesiastical authority. It was only a matter of human order that they either divided certain functions of the office or the care for certain parts of the people among themselves. Likewise, when they chose one from among themselves, to whom the others submit themselves freely and according to human right, or also when a whole group of ministers of the church, Kirchendiener, labor in the word in one congregation and continuously submit themselves one to another. This also applies to the distinction between a pastor and a senior of ministers, a president, a superintendent, a dean, a head pastor, or whatever they may be called, who are set over one or more preachers. But since there is no distinction between such offices according to divine right, so likewise between them and a Lutheran deacon to whom the office of the word is commended, there is no distinction. For the call to preach God's word publicly is truly the essence of the preaching office. To preach is the highest office in the church, on account of which alone all other functions are necessary. It is also the judge of all other offices. Therefore, the office of Lutheran deacon is no helping office, as is, for example, the office of caring for alms, the office of church father or lay elder. Rather, it is the one true office which is specially instituted and established by Christ himself. And now we understand better what Walther means by auxiliary offices and what it means that they have a part of the Predigtamt. Auxiliary offices are offices which carry out such functions of the Predigtamt that, in Walther's words, do not make up the essence of the office, but whose functions nevertheless have a divine command. Hence, the holders of these auxiliary offices do not have the Predigtamt as such. As Walther says in the above-mentioned quote, the so-called deacons and lay elders of the apostles' time were, as was already suggested, in no way preachers and overseers of souls. They were rather only their helpers for functions of the preaching office, which do not make up the essence of the office. Here we see also Walther speaking about a deacon, not in the narrow sense of the word as in the explanation to Thesis 8, but as a person who holds both the office of deacon in the narrow sense and the pastoral office. And I quote again, "But since there is no distinction between such offices according to divine right, so likewise between them and a Lutheran deacon to whom the office of the word is commended, there is no distinction. For the call to preach God's word publicly is truly the essence of the preaching office. To preach is the highest office in the church, on account of which alone all other functions are necessary. It is also the judge of all other offices. Therefore, the office of a Lutheran deacon is no helping office, as is, for example, the office of caring for alms, the office of church father or lay elder. Rather, it is the one true office, which is specially instituted and established by Christ himself." To Walther, this Lutheran deacon to whom the office of the word had been commended, had the divine office Christ instituted in every way, allesites. In other words, by divine right, he had the whole pastoral office, even though by human right, his tasks might be specialized or limited. When we look at the witnesses Walther provides for Thesis 8, we see that he provides quotes that prove that according to divine right, those who are in the Predikamt have the same power and authority to preach the gospel and administer the sacraments, even though their tasks might differ by human right. For example, from the Smalcald articles we can read, "The gospel commands those who preside over the churches that they should preach the gospel, forgive sins, and administer the sacraments. In addition, it gives them the jurisdiction to excommunicate those who publicly wallow in vices and to loose and absolve those who desire to amend their lives. Now all must confess, even our adversaries, that this command is given to all who preside over the churches, whether they are called pastors, elders, or bishops. So Jerome also declares in clear words that there is no difference between bishops and elders, but that all pastors at the same time are bishops and priests." Here Jerome teaches that the distinction between bishops and pastors stems merely from a human arrangement, just as we may also see from the work. For the office and command are the same. And afterward, only ordination determined the distinction between bishops and pastors. Then it was so arranged that a bishop could also ordain persons for the ministry in other churches. But because, according to divine right, there is no difference between bishops and pastors or ministers, there is no doubt that if a pastor in his church ordains competent persons for offices in the church, such an ordination, according to divine right, is efficacious and right. So we see that Walther considers it possible, according to human right, to distribute the tasks that have been given to the pastoral office in a varied way. But this is only according to human right. By divine right, all those who have been called to carry out those functions that make up the essence of the Predikamt, that is, preach the word publicly and administer the sacraments, have the whole Predikamt, even though by human arrangement they might not be carrying out all the functions of the Predikamt. On the other hand, those who are carrying out only functions that do not make up the essence of the Predikamt are only in an auxiliary office that is subordinate to those who are in the Predikamt. One additional thing that shows the distinction between auxiliary offices and the Predikamt is that Walther does not permit temporal calls to the Predikamt. He provides a quote from Cromayer in connection with Thesis 9 in his book Church and Ministry. "The minister may not be engaged by those who call him through a contract for certain years or with the reservation to dismiss the freely called person. God nowhere has granted or permitted those who call the right to make such a contract. Hence, neither the one calling nor the one who is called may regard such a call or dismissal as divine." In other words, if one receives a call to the Predikamt, that call is permanent. In his pastoral theology, Walther treats this subject in more depth. I will quote a part of his pastoral theology. Here in America, many congregations have the custom of calling the preachers only temporarily. But a congregation is not justified in extending such a call, and a preacher is not authorized to accept such a call. It is an abuse. It fights against the divinity of a correct call to a preaching office in the church, which is clearly testified to in God's word. Such a call is not what God has ordained for the holy preaching office, but something quite different that has nothing to do with it. It is not an indirect call from God through the church, but rather a human contract. It is not a lifelong call, but a temporary function outside of the divine ordinance, a human ordinance made against God's ordinance, or rather an atrocious disorder. So it is null and void, without any validity. One called in this way is not to be considered a minister of Christ or the church. So we see that Walther does not consider it possible for someone to receive a temporary call to the predicant. On the other hand, the quote from Der Lutheraner shows that Walther considered it possible that auxiliary offices are temporary. And I quote again, "Therefore also the deacons and lay elders are sometimes installed for a certain period of time or for a certain term, or when one does not need them any longer, he releases them from their office." And now we can finally return to thesis two. We can now conclude that since Walther uses the terms predicant and farramt as essentially synonyms, and as he makes a sharp distinction between the predicant and the auxiliary offices, Walther considers the concrete pastoral office to be divinely instituted. And we can now turn our attention to how Walther proves this from the scriptures. And he offers four scriptural proofs. I will quote again the entire section. In the first place, from the predictions of the prophets that God himself would give to the church of the New Testament pastors or teachers. The Lord gave the word, great was the company of those who proclaimed it. Psalm 68:11. I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Jeremiah 3:15. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the teacher of righteousness. Joel 2:23. In the second place, the divine institution of the holy ministry is evident from the call of the holy apostles into the ministry of the word by the Son of God. According to Matthew 10:28-18-20, Luke 9:1-10, Mark 16:15, John 20:20-21-23, 21:15-17, as well as from the call of the 70 disciples in Luke 10:1-22. In the third place, the divine character of the ministry of the gospel is evident from all passages in which those called immediately are represented as having been called by God himself. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Acts 20:28. God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles. 1 Corinthians 12:28-29. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Ephesians 4:11. In the fourth place, the divine institution of the holy ministry is evident from the fact that the holy apostles placed themselves on an equal footing with the servants of the church who were called immediately as their co-laborers in the ministry. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder, 1 Peter 5:1, compare also 2 John 1:3, where John calls himself presbyter or elder. Also Colossians 4:7, where Paul calls Tychicus his fellow servant. Also Philippians 2:25, where Paul calls Epaphroditus his fellow worker and fellow soldier, as well as the apostle of the Philippians. Finally, 1 Corinthians 4:1 and 1:1, where Paul calls himself and Sosthenes servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. To summarize this, Walther proves the divine institution of the pastoral office from the scriptures, first, from the predictions of the Old Testament prophets, second, from the call of the apostles to the ministry of the word, third, from those passages of scripture which show that those who have been called immediately have been called by God, and fourth, from the fact that the apostles consider themselves to be equal to those who have been called immediately. As witnesses of the church in its official confessions, Walther cites Augsburg Confession, Article 5, as we have mentioned above. As we saw then, Walther sees Article 5 as attesting indirectly also to the fact that the concrete pastoral office is divinely instituted. In his Thesis 3, Walther writes, "The ministry is not an arbitrary office, but one whose establishment has been commanded to the church and to which the church is ordinarily bound till the end of time." As scripture proves, he provides Matthew 28:19-20, and then gives the following explanation. "From these words, it is evident that the ministry, predictum, of the apostles by Christ's command, is to continue till the end of time. But if this is to take place, then the church must constantly establish the true public ministry, and in this establishment, administer the means of grace till the end of the world." From this we can learn that Walther thinks that the predictum is the continuation of the office of the apostles, and this office will continue by virtue of God's command to the end of time. In other words, we learn that Walther believes that the concrete office of predictum has been commanded by God to continue till the end of time. And we have used most of our time looking at Walther's teaching. And even though, of course, this has not been an exhaustive treatment on what Walther teaches, next we will consider briefly what Franz Pieper taught on the issue at hand. For Pieper, it is clear that the public ministry is not a human, but a divine institution. He writes in his Christian Dogmatics, "It is not a human, but a divine command that Christians perform the works of their spiritual priesthood. Accordingly, preach the gospel not merely in their homes, but also in their intercourse with their brethren and with the world. Likewise, it is not merely a human, but a divine regulation that Christians who live at one place, fellowship with one another, form a congregation, and appoint men equipped with the necessary teaching ability to preach God's word in the name of the congregation, both publicly and privately." As scripture proves, Pieper provides, first of all, the example of the apostles who ordained them elders in every church, Acts 14:23. Then Pieper mentions the practice of Paul, who charged Titus to ordain elders in every congregation in Crete, because the congregations had failed to call elders or bishops. Pieper also, and this is in Titus 1:5, Pieper also mentions that the terms elder and bishop mean pastors. Pieper mentions Höffling in this connection, who denied that the public ministry is divinely ordained. Höffling claimed that what Paul and Barnabas did in Acts 14:23 and what Paul commanded in Titus 1:5 were only necessary for the specific conditions in those specific places and times. Pieper comments that those restrictions are not in the text. He also writes that the congregations are described in the text as lacking something as long as they have no elders or bishops. In his Christian Dogmatics, Pieper also refers to the small card articles, which say, "Wherever the church is," and Pieper has in brackets, "irrespective of age, size, place, or time, there is the authority," in brackets, "command, to administer the gospel. Therefore, it is necessary for the church," in brackets, "the churches, to retain the authority to call, elect, and ordain ministers." From this, Pieper concludes that it is not left up to the Christians whether or not they establish the public ministry among themselves, but that it is the order of God and therefore their duty. And Pieper also refers to Walther's Theses 2 and 3 in his book Church and Ministry, which we looked at just before. And finally, Peter cites also the Apology, where it is stated that the ministry of the word has God's command. It is therefore clear that Peter considers the pastoral office to be divinely instituted. When we compare his scripture proofs to Walther's, however, we notice a certain difference. While Peter provides only two scripture passages to prove that the pastoral office is divinely instituted, Acts 14:23 and Titus 1:5, Walther provides at least 20. And though Peter refers to some of the same passages in other connections when dealing with the doctrine of the ministry. So while Peter does prove with the scriptures that the pastoral office is instituted by God, we can perhaps say that Walther offers stronger proof, especially because he refers to the passages in the Gospels where Christ himself institutes the pastoral office. Nevertheless, we can conclude that both C.F.W. Walther and Franz Pieper teach that the pastoral office is divinely instituted.